I've been watching a lot of AFL coverage of the Anzac Day round, and it's interesting. A lot of the associations with Anzac Day are about recognizing quote unquote heroism. So I think it's worth mentioning the point of Anzac Day isn't to glorify the valor of people who participate in war, it's to mourn the losses, the significant losses of the thousands of people that are killed unnecessarily and the towns that are destroyed, communities that are destroyed as a result. So I think pretty great day to be reflecting on all of the unnecessary losses of life going on far away from Australia. Did you want to do a bit of a weekly summary of what's been going on in Palestine and Lebanon?
Yeah, I can do a bit of a West Asia update here, courtesy of a collection of Dropsite News. We can say that this week a third US aircraft carrier has arrived in West Asia in a further build-up of naval power. US Central Command said in a social media post that for the first time in decades, three aircraft carriers are operating in the Middle East at the same time. Accompanied by their carrier air wings, you have the US Abraham Lincoln, the US Gerald Ford, and the US George H.W. Bush, including over 200 aircraft and 15,000 sailors and marines. This is coupled with claims from Israeli Defense Minister Israel Katz, who on Thursday says that Israeli forces are waiting for a green light from the United States to renew the war with Iran, saying Israel is ready. In a video conference, Israel Katz said that to complete the elimination of the Khomeini dynasty, he threatened to return, quote, return Iran to the Dark Age and the Stone Age by destroying key energy and electricity facilities and dismantling its economic
Which is a
national infrastructure.
crime against humanity, worth mentioning.
Yeah, couple that with President Donald Trump. Warning that if on the same Thursday that if a deal is not reached, Iran's quote whole oil infrastructure is going to explode within days. He told reporters at the Oval Office he was in quote no rush for a deal and felt no pressure whatsoever, repeating his claim that the delays were due to the Iranian government being disorganized.
What a scumbag.
Yeah, he also said that he commented on the Strait of Hormuz, saying that Iran came to us and said we'll agree to open the strait. He said, however, that he was the one who kept it closed and it'll open when they want to make a deal or something else happened.
There's also, sorry to cut you off, Toby, but there's also a pretty interesting deadline coming up on May 1st. So, as a result of the 1973 War Powers Act, Trump is obliged
In
to limit,
America.
yep. Trump is obliged to limit the war after 60 days without congressional approval to continue the war. This would require him to be granted permission essentially from the House of Reps and the Senate. They must pass a joint resolution with a majority in each within the 60-day limit. It's also worth mentioning that in the
Do you think
meantime,
America is actually functioning as a democracy anymore?
I think not in practice for much longer than the last decade. I feel like their democracy has been pretty undemocratic for at least the last 30
Well,
years.
if you collect some of the feeds that are coming out of, I suppose middle class versions of what America is, because it's a big place, they do talk about things like the outrage of a decade of increasing the veto power of the president. The president's role in the democracy has been made extremely authoritarian.
And lots of things like removing the strength of checks and balances in the judiciary and things like that.
Yeah,
So,
well, yeah,
yeah, there's been
that's the whole
clearly
process.
a massive breakdown in how, a democratic republic
I mean,
is it's supposed to function in theory.
it's sort of like the Bruce Willis version of, Die Hard version of running a country.
And I think worth, remembering there are real life consequences for them being this kind of inept, completely dysfunctional country. They're still the most powerful country in the world.
Well,
The UN
anyway,
has
as you said, 60 days is the deadline.
But if the war does continue, regardless of whether the war continues, actually, the damage has been done pretty significantly. The UN reported this week that the current Iran war will push 30 million people back into poverty, with significant knock-on effects likely to affect food security.
Yeah, I mean, in all of this, what you guys are saying, I remember we reported on a there's three American reports even, so from inside, that have conducted surveys with scholars and analyzed critical data that have said basically that the US is now no longer considered a liberal democracy and is now somewhere between on the low end of a democracy and a dictatorship. And it's something that we see of a trend, like, I mean, we talked to an Italian political scientist on Wednesday on Radio Philip, and he was saying the playbook is being written in places like Hungary and Italy, where they want a, he used a term like a, it's like a dictatorship or something like that, but it's like a somewhere between a democracy and a dictatorship, and something that was exemplified by Viktor Orban in Hungary, and something that Giorgia Meloni in Italy is readily pursuing.
Mind you, Hungary has just kicked him out.
Yeah, with now a more NATO Euro aligned, traditional sort of conservative figure.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this is a kind of a left field sort of approach to headlines, but if we look at America, there was a fascinating report from Payday about Pittsburgh, which, of course, America is very big, but it gives you a sort of an idea of the melding, the enmeshing of Zionism, power, and misdirection in the news. I'll read what the Payday editor says. Greetings from the Berg, where the NFL draft has arrived here in Pittsburgh. More than 200,000 people are expected to arrive in the city for a three-day football festival. And I'm getting nervous as I see the police set up wooden horse barriers outside Payday's headquarters in the historic Hill District. Given the media attention on Pittsburgh, newly elected Pittsburgh Mayor Corey O'Connor has used the opportunity to meet with business and football leaders. This is Pittsburgh's moment, O'Connor posted on Facebook this morning as national media descended on the city. It also a huge moment for O'Connor, who remains politically unpopular with many progressives in the city, particularly in the African American community. Last year, O'Connor narrowly defeated Black Pittsburgh Progressive Mayor Ed Gainey by 3,311 votes. O'Connor was accused of race baiting because he repeatedly claimed that crime had gone up under Gainey when it went down. Even Congresswoman Summer Lee called out O'Connor for engaging in dog whistle politics. O'Connor, whose mother is Jewish and grew up in the heavily Jewish neighbourhood of Squirrel Hill, where 11 Jews were killed in the largest Jewish massacre in American history in 2018, also repeatedly attacked Gainey over his opposition to the war in Israel. Despite his right-wing attacks on Gainey, O'Connor boasted in his campaign ads that he was a progressive. So it shocked many Democrats in the city that O'Connor posted a photograph yesterday boasting of securing the support of Robert Kraft, the billionaire owner of the New England Patriots and a major supporter of Donald Trump. So despite his right-wing attacks on Gainey, O'Connor boasted that he was a progressive. Hate has no home in Pittsburgh, wrote O'Connor on Facebook yesterday. Thank you, Robert Kraft, for your advocacy against anti-Semitism and inviting me to tonight's dinner. So you can see how it's all sort of enmeshing it's a really worrying sort of a trend. But there's also this business about AFGE, the largest union representing 300,000 employees at the Department of Defense, DOD, this is in US, expressed outrage after Defense Secretary appears to have issued a memo directing agencies and components to terminate all collective bargaining agreements between the DOD and the union. This action comes a year after President Trump signed Executive Order 14,251, which illegally stripped over 1 million federal employees of their union rights, citing national security reasons. Eep, 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 eep. It's really freaky.
I think as well, before we move on from everything that is freaky wrong with America, we also had the news this week from the Trump administration that they've decided to extend the Lebanon-Israel ceasefire, so-called ceasefire.
Because, make it so.
Yes, within the 10-day ceasefire, the non-permanent ceasefire, three people were killed by Israel. So, you know, whether or not it was a ceasefire is up for debate. But there were some interesting comments from political analyst Jason Ditz about the ceasefire being extended. He said that
President... When is a ceasefire not a ceasefire?
I don't know. When the Americans decide that they're not going to call it that anymore, I guess. President Trump's suggestion that his intention was to, quote, work with Lebanon to help them against Hezbollah, once again suggests this ceasefire isn't actually intended to cease any fire. Hezbollah, who was not included in the talks and did not endorse the ceasefire, is going to continue to be targeted by a growing number of belligerent factions. Increasingly, however, targeting Hezbollah has meant targeting Lebanon's broader Shiite population, particularly in the south, where they've been broadly expelled from their homes, which are in the process of being destroyed by Israel on, quote, national security grounds. For the 20% of Lebanon's population presently displaced by the war, it is unlikely that this latest extension will change much.
Well, I'm going to bring us back to Australia, and there was a major announcement by Microsoft in its worldwide domination or using AI. It said that Microsoft yesterday, that was, and it was released a couple of days ago, announced the largest AI skilling commitment in Australia's history, a pledge to help 3 million Australians build workforce-ready AI skills by the end of 2028. Goes on to talk about how it's going to pledge digital skills across Australia and New Zealand, and the 2023 commitment to train 300,000 Australians, both achieved ahead of schedule, showing strong demand for practical learning. It's talking about rezoning a growing gap for young people across all parts of the workforce. We're partnering with Anyway, previously Year 13, to support the launch of the largest tool to support school leavers, an AI-powered career coach that delivers personalised career guidance, personalised career guidance to young people, built on Microsoft Azure. The tool enables schools and governments to scale personalised student guidance, reduce counsellor workloads, and deliver measurable improvements in youth outcomes and workforce readiness. Beyond classroom learning, Microsoft is also helping create cleaner pathways into the higher growth technical roles that will underpin Australia's AI economy. Microsoft's Data Centre Academy launched last year in Sydney with TAFE New South Wales and expanded in March to Melbourne in partnership with Victoria University, provides practical job-ready training and accessible entry points into data centre and cloud careers by connecting learners to in-depth, in-demand skills and industry-recognised experience. AI adoption can't be limited to specialists. As more organisations rapidly adopt AI, we're seeing the rise of the frontier worker, people in every function who combine domain expertise with AI literacy, sound judgment, and the ability to work effectively with AI tools and agents. It goes on to talk about Microsoft is working in partnership with Arcontis Academy to deliver AI learning modules designed specifically for field and deskless workers. The training is built around how field and trade-focused employees would use AI in practice. A Microsoft ongoing work with the Australian Council of Trade Union will ensure the workers' voice and skilling remain at the heart of the Australia's AI transformation, including through co-developing curriculum with the Australian Trade Unions Institute to equip union workers with the knowledge they need to support their members as they navigate AI transformation in the workplace. Now, the reason, and it goes on and on and on about how it's going to be completely enmeshed and fused with our educational system through government as well as our educational process. But at the same time, this is what has come out of Meta, which is the rebranding of Facebook. First wave to cut about 10% of Meta's workforce, sources tell Reuters. Further layoffs planned for later in 2026 remain not finalised. Meta opens new tab, intends to conduct a first wave of sweeping layoffs planned for this year on May 20, with more coming later, three sources familiar with the plans told Reuters. The Facebook and Instagram owner will lay off about 10% of its global workforce, or close to 8,000 employees, in that initial round, one of the sources said. The company is planning further layoffs in the second half of the year, the three sources said, although details of those cuts, including date and size, were not yet settled. Meta declined to comment on the timing or scope of planned cuts. It goes on to talk about things like Amazon.com opens new tab similarly as trimmed 30,000 corporate employees in recent months, representing nearly 10% of its white-collar workers, while in February the fintech company Blocks opens new tab, chopped nearly half of its staff. The layoffs are connected to their use, their ongoing use of AI.
I think it's been...
So who are we supposed to believe here?
Well, I think we can believe some of the science that's already been produced around this stuff. We know that AI doesn't actually tend to increase productivity. We know that the big change that it tends to make is making these industries more profitable for shareholders and making workforces less stable and less secure. I think that's something that we do know, even at this early stage of the transition that we're seeing towards more AI integration. For Stick Together, I was having a chat with an organiser for the MUA, the Maritime Union of Australia, about a lot of these changes. And it's become very clear across lots of different industries, maritime industry, but also things like accounting, tertiary education sector, there's nowhere near enough regulation around how this is going to impact workers to keep up with how rapidly the government is investing in these AI economic opportunities. And even the Victorian Premier, the New South Wales Premier, they've been incredibly explicit about the fact that they're going to prioritise investment in AI over protections for the environment, for workers. They want to be easy investment sites.